Erev Tov world. Today's daf in Masechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph. We're talking about the sugya of the way that machshavot are bevatlot zotzo, and the way that they're mitzarfot. So what we've learned is that even a machsheves chutz l'bekomo and a chutz l'zmano can be mitzarif. To pass, obviously, you cannot be mechayev Pigel and chorus with that type of itztarf is of a chatzi zayit of a chutz lezmano with a chatzi zayit of chutz lemekomo, because even a zayit, once you've wrecked the pigel by including a machshava of chutz lemekomo, you're not going to be able to create a real pigel that will be mechayev chorus. But on the other hand, even a chatzi zayit of each of them would be able to be mitztarif in their common denominator. And the common denominator is that it's a machshava that violates the dimensions, and therefore it will be basal, which is the lowest level of psul, but it won't be a chiyuv of karet. So today, on Daf Lamed Aleph, we're going to talk about some interesting variations on the way that you could have a combination that might still allow a tziruf for psul, or maybe even a tziruf to go and be b'chayev you correct. So let's imagine a case like this. So somebody first says a machshava for a chatzi zayit, and he's going to be eating this chatzi zayit chutz lezmano. And then he takes another chatzi, he has another machshava on doing, maybe now he's up to the halacha, and he decides, okay, I'm going to do a chatzi zayit chutz b'koma. And then, as he comes to the zrika, he says, well, now I'm going to do another chatzi zayit chutz lezmano. So now what happened? Let's think about it. The first chatzi zayit of chutz lezmano combined with the chatzi zayit of chutz lebekomo, which was enough to passel it, but it also ruined it in terms of the pigel component, right? Because it's now comprised of a chutz lebekomo. But on the other hand, when you add the chatzi zayit of again chutz lezmano, so you do have a total of a zayit shalem of chutz lezmano, which is pigel would be chayv yukares, then the fact that there's a chatzi zayis, which is not enough to really create a psul on its own of chutz lebekomo, maybe that doesn't wreck it. Or do we say that because of the fact that the chatzi zayit already combined with the other chatzi zayit of chutz lebekomo, it's basically now puzzle, and you can't put together the original chatzi zayit of chutz lezmano with the new chatzi zayit of chutz lezmano because it's already been combined with the chatzi zayit of chutz lemekomo. So Rava says, well, that's not a problem. You know, the pigel was asleep. I mean, when pigel went to bed with a chutz lemekomo, I mean, you know, it was just sort of comfy, nice calm sleep, but the moment another chatzi zayis of pigel came along, pow! I mean, he woke up with a growl, and now we got a pigel that's ready to go for pigel all the way, and that's going to be mechayev you a actual chiyuv kores. This is a takeoff of a pasuk. The pasuk says that vayikatz ki yoshen Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was like asleep and wasn't coming to the rescue of Klal Yisrael, but boy, when he woke up, whoa, get out of the way. So that's what's happening over here. The pigel is back, and it's really mad now, because trying to calm it down with a little bit of chutz lemekomo over here, that didn't do nothing for me. And now he's going about creating a real pigel of chutz lemekomo, the chutz lezmano, and it will be a chiyuv of course. Rav Amnuna says, no. Once the pigel went to bed with the chutz lemekomo, it's not going to be able to be mitzarif with the pigel. Pigel's asleep, it stays asleep. And just because you throw in another chatzi zayis of pigel, of chutz lezmano, that's not enough to wake up a sleeping pigel. And it's only going to be a psul, but it's not going to turn into karet. So it's iruv machshavot. Omar Rava, I'll prove it to you. I'll prove to you that things get turned back on again when you throw in the original chatzi zayit. Because take a look at this. We had this Mishnah in Tyrus, and when you start off with the kibetza of food, Now that kibbetza of food, if it's ochel rishon, remember that a kibbetza of food is able to be metame other food, right? So you started off with a kibbetza that was a rishon, that can make other food a sheni. Now if you mix it up with another kibbetza of ochel sheni, so then obviously you still have a kibbetza here, and the mixture is able to be metame something to become a rishon, to become a sheni, because it's a rishon. But what about if you then split them into two pieces? So then each one of those pieces does not contain a rishon any longer, does it? It contains a chatzizayis, or approximately chatzizayis of rishon and a chatzizayis of sheni. And the rule is that if you've got a mixture, it will be metame, but it will only be metame as the weaker of the two. Obviously, you can't lift up something to be more metame if it doesn't have a shear. So then if chilkan, it's each piece is considered to be a sheni. Now, that Mishnah makes clear that if you then combine the two back together again, and now you're back with the two kibbetzas, and one of them is a rishon, one of them is a sheni, they now turn back on and they become a rishon. Because the Mishnah itself says that in a case where nafal zeba atzmo, the zeba atzmo, al kikar shel truma, if when you had it split into two parts, so each part fell on a bread of trum, so then what's the din? It becomes, it parcels it. You know, it parcels it. When truma is parcel, what's the din? It's a shreishi. When truma is a sheini, it's actually tummy. So when we say pasul, we mean it's been affected by the tuma, but it can't pass the tuma on any further. So that means that it was only a sheni, a shlishi, because each one of the pieces was a sheni, because they fell separately. And therefore, they only pasuled it. But suppose both of them fall together onto the bread of truma, then they made the truma actually pasul, and now it's a sheni. So you see from here that when you recombine something that had already lost its full ability to be batami, and because it was split into two pieces, it was a sheni, that now when you put it back together again, it actually regains its original level, and it now becomes a rishon. So the same thing is true over here. I say that in the same way that we had a chatzi zayit, and it was mixed with the chatzi zayit of chutz lemekomo, but now you put it together with another chatzi zayit, so now it regains the strength of the zayit sholem of the pigol, and now it's kares. Doesn't that prove my point? No, says Rav Nuna, it certainly does not prove your point, because in that case we started off, remember, with a kazayit of rishon. So you had initially atam ikashiur, it started off with the correct amount. So you had a full, it wasn't a kazayis, it was a kibbetza, but the idea is you had the full kibbetza with chatchila, and therefore when you split it into two, okay, now you don't have it. But the moment that you put it back together again, it goes back to the way it was initially. But over here, initially it was all messed up, because initially the chatzi zayit of real pigol chutz lezmano had gotten into bed with the chatzi zayit of a chutz lemekomo, and now it's fast asleep. And therefore, you can't wrest it away, like you're claiming, where it never had achieved the original shear of the kazayat that was necessary, and add more to it and think it's going to wake up. It's not going to wake up, because it didn't start with any kind of shear. Actually, says Rav Amnuna, I'm going to prove to you that I'm right, and that if you don't begin with a shear, that you can't add to it afterwards, because, look, let's take a look in a Mishnah also, another Mishnah from Tyrus. Where over there it says, if you've got a half of a kibbetz that's referring to over there, that became tummy from an av hatuma, and then it was nitma, you've got another piece of food that was nitma with a vlad hatuma. So that means the first one touched an av, it was a rishon. The second one touched a vlad, so it was sheni. They can be mitzarfim zeimze to give us a shear of one kibbetzah. But the shear obviously is only going to be able to be metame like the sheni. It's not going to be able to be metame like a rishon, because we don't have a kibbetza of a rishon. And I'm assuming that since the Mishnah doesn't say otherwise, even if afterwards I would fill in the other chatzi beitza with the ochel that was nitma from an avatum, it was a rishon, it wouldn't make any difference. And even if I had a total of a full kibetza, since it was all initially defined as a lower level of tumah because of the fact that it was a chatzi beitza together with the chatzi beitza of sheni, it doesn't go back to becoming it doesn't achieve a status of being a rishon, just as here too, in the case of pigol, since originally the chutz l'mekomo was put together with the chutz l'zmano, you can't go and add more chutz l'zmano and wake it up to now become the more chomer, which is what I said. Well, you know, I love the way you throw in the words. Undoubtedly, even if you would put in more, I mean, maybe undoubtedly to you, Rav Amnona, but it's very doubtful to me. I mean, the Mishnah is not talking about a case where you added the missing amount to turn it into a kibetza. Well, what kind of raya is that? So when Rav Dimi came to Bavel, he said, you know, the truth is that we do have a braita of Bar Kapora that seems to address this. Now, it turns out that we have three different versions of the same limud of Bar Kapora. And so in some of them, they're not really supportive of Rava, but in one of them, they're fully supportive of Rava. Let's take a look at the three. And there's subtle differences between the case of Rava and this first case. Let's take a look at the first case. You start off with the Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Mikoma, and then you add a Chatzi Zayis of Chutz L'Zmano, and then you add another Chatzi Zayis of Chutz L'Zmano. Now, this is not the same, because in Rava's case, Rava said even if you had the two Chatzi Zaytim that had Chutz L'Zmano, and in between the two of them, you had a Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Mikoma, Rava said it would still be able to reawaken the first Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Zmano. Now, that's not what Bar Kapora says. Bar Kapora says if you didn't have anything in between the two Chatzi Zayisim of Chutz L'Zmano, but you started with the Chatzi Zayis of Chutz L'Mikoma, so then if you have two Chatzi Zayisim of Chutz L'Zmano, we don't say that the first Chatzi Zayit had already combined with the Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Mikoma. We say this is somewhat similar to Rava, but it's not the same, because according to Rava, he never talked about a case where you had two Chatzi Zayisim of Chutz L'Zmano together. Rava talked about even a case where you had a Chatzi Zayit that was then interrupted with a Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Mikoma, and then you added another Chatzi Zayit. And Rava said, even in that case, you can reawaken the Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Zmano by adding the Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Zmano at the end, such that you have Zmano, Mekomo, and Zmano. And he says that's good. And Bar Kapora didn't want to go that far. So what Bar Kapora said was, if you have Mekomo, Zmano, Zmano, then you could put the two Chatzi Zayisim of the Zmano together, despite the fact that you might have thought that the first Kizayis of the Chatzi Zmano was now locked into the psul of the Chutz L'Mikoma, therefore couldn't be used. So it's like halfway towards Rava's opinion, but it's not ready to go the whole way. Okay? And over there, Bar Kapora said, yes, if it's Zmano, Zmano together, then it's Pigo. Why? Because you can't have a Chatzi Zayit of Chutz L'Mikoma messing up an Iruv Machshavais of a full Kizayis of Chutz L'Zmano. Okay, that's version A of Bar Kapora. Now let's talk about version B, which came when Ravin came to Bavel. So Kiyasa Ravin, he said, no, you're quoting Bar Kapora wrong. Actually, what Kapora said was that if you start with a Chatzi Zayit Chutz L'Zmano, and then you continue with the Chatzi Zayis of Chutz L'Mikoma. Now, this is Rava's case. And in that case, you have a Chatzi Zayis Chutz L'Mikoma. So now, in this case, you've got actually a case of Zmano Zmano Mekomo. Well, that's not even close to Rava's case, because here you're trying to wreck a case of a full kizayit of chutz zmano with a subsequent chatzi zayit of chutz mekomo. Well, a half a zayit of chutz mekomo is all the kabbara said. That cannot wreck a full kizayit of chutz zmano. And we do put together that chatzi zayit of chutz zmano with the second chatzi zayit of chutz zmano. But again, this is nowhere near Rava's case. As Rava's case was, you initially had the chutz lizmano, and then you interrupted between it and the next chutz lizmano with the chatzi zayit of chutz lemekomo, that then you can reawaken it. That's not what it says here. Here it says only if you have the two chutz lizmanos together. So, yeah, in that case, it's pigul, but that's because ein chatzi zayit mo'il b'makom kezayit, but that's not Rava's case. And clearly, he would not have supported Rava's case. But Rav Ashi has a third version. And Rav Ashi says, what it was that Bakapara said was precisely Rava's case. It was, you start with a chatzi zayit of chutz zmano, and then you do a kezayit of kezayit chutz lizmano. Oh, sorry, where am I? You start off with the chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano, and then you have a kezayis which is comprised of half of it is chutz lemekomo, and half of it is chutz lizmano. So there Bar Kapara says that is definitely pigul, even though it had been combined before. You'd say, well, I mean, if you got a kezayis which is itself half mekomo and half zmano, so then it was not going to be able to be mitzarif with the pigul. But actually, it says here, it is mitzarif for the pigul. So even though you have where the mekomo comes between the two chutz lizmanos, here it's going even a step beyond Rava, because it's saying that where you took the kezayit, which is already combined, the chatzi zayit of it for chutz lemekomo with chutz lizmano, and you put that into the mix where there was a chatzi zayit of chutz lizmano before, even that is considered to be a pigul, which is like Rava plus. So that is actually the way we paskin, like Rava plus. Amar Biyana. Well, I got interesting questions about what we mean when we say you're going to eat it tomorrow. Let's say you had in mind that it will be eaten tomorrow. It doesn't have to be you're going to eat it, right? So if I say somebody else is going to eat it, how about if you say a dog is going to eat it tomorrow? So I want to be mechadesh that if you had it in kavana that you're going to give a kizayit of it to a dog tomorrow, it's also pigul. Because we see that the consuming of dogs is considered to be the same as achila, because it says that izevel will be eaten by the dogs in Chelek Israel, and it uses the lashon of yochlu akilavim. So you see that dogs are considered to be an act of achila, and therefore it fits the halacha over here of a kavana of achila. It's called achila. Matki for Rabbi Ami. So now, okay, let me ask you something. How about you had in mind that tomorrow you are going to make a bonfire with a kezayit? You're not going to put it on the mizbeach. You're going to make a bonfire. Now, I'll bring you a pasuk that says that a fire is considered to be eating. Tichtiv t'cholel eish lonupach. A fire that is so powerful, doesn't need to be, but it's referring actually to Ganem, it's referring to, but the bottom line is, you're going to say that that's pigul too? Because, well, you said it, it's going to be eaten by the fire. And if you try to tell me, yes, go ahead, yes, why not? Aha, I'll tell you why not. Because the Mishnah said that if you had in mind to eat a chatzi zayis and to put a chatzi zayis on the mizbeach, which means it's going to be burnt by fire, right? And it says over there, no, it's completely kosher. Why? Because ein achila v'aktorah mitzarfim. So if according to you, a fire is consumption, then why is it any different than the doggy eating his evel over here? The fire ate this, and that's also considered to be consumption. So you see, it's only achila, normal sense of achila, for a person, but burning things or giving up to dogs is not achila. Says the Gemara, excuse me, I don't see what you can prove from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that you cannot combine a machsheva's haktara with a machsheva of achila. And that is absolutely correct. But suppose instead of saying haktara, you said, I am going to feed it. It's going to be an achila of a fire on the Mizbeach. But you don't use the word haktara. So then, if you said that I'm shechting this in order for a fire to eat it tomorrow, then that would absolutely would be pigle, even if it was only a chatzi zayit with the person's own achila or feeding it to another person. The Mishnah, when the Mishnah says you can't put together a machshava for haktara, that's because you use the word haktara, and haktara is not called achila. Haktara has its own special shame of achila, which is the achilas hamizbeach. That's not just a normal using a fire to burn it. So there you can combine it. But the lashon of achila is one lashon. The lashon of haktara is another lashon. If you use the word just consumption, then consumption can include dogs, it can include burning, and it can include your eating. That's all called achila. By Ravashi. Okay, let me ask you something else. You have a machshava that you're going to feed a kezayit to two different people. So each one of them is only going to be eating a chatzi zayit. Okay, what's the din? Do we go according to the machshava of the person who had the pigul in mind, and he is talking about the achila of a kezayit? Or do we say, now, wait a minute, achila of a kezayit has got to be one achila, doesn't it? I mean, if no one person is eating a kezayit, was there an achila of a kezayit? So do we go according to the one who's making the pigo? Or does there really need to be a machshava of an actual act of achila, even though the whole thing is virtual? Remember, nobody actually eats this. But the point is, what you had in mind, that virtual machshava, was it an imaginary actual halachic achila, then it would require one person to eat it. Or do we say, no, the point is, I have in mind that it shall be eaten. That's the point. So, do we have a riot to that? Says Abaya, yep, I can prove the point. Toshma, take a look at our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says very clearly that if you had in mind to eat a kachatzi zayit and to be maktir a chatzi zayit, then it's kosher. Why is it kosher? Because achila and haktara cannot actually combine. All right, now does that not say that in an equivalent case, let's say, you would say, I'm going to eat a chatzi zayit and I'm going to eat a chatzi zayit, which would be similar to the case in the Mishnah of eating and burning. What would that be? Two different people. I'm going to eat a chatzi zayit myself and I'm going to give my wife a chatzi zayit. So what would be the case? Shnei b'nei adam. The only problem here is that it was a mizbeach and a human. But to be mitzarev two humans in the same fashion would have been mitzarev. Seems absolutely clear, says Abaye, that would be shma minayin. Indeed, we hear from here that the individual who's doing the virtual feeding, it needs to be a kezayit, but since there is no real achila, it doesn't really matter if, as long as it's being eaten. Well, Rava asks, let me take that a step further, because I mean, I can understand that there is a real achila going on, even though each person is only eating half of it. But suppose you had in mind to eat a kezayit in more than the sheer that is allowable for combining achila, right? Now remember, something is not considered to be eaten unless it's eaten as a kezayit betoch achilas pras, right? So you're not going to be yotze, you're eating your matzah or eating your kezayit on the first night of Sukkot. It's got to be betoch achilas pras. So now, suppose you say, I am bringing this korban during the shechita in order to eat outside of the correct time or outside of the correct place, but I'm going to be eating very slowly. I'm going to be eating this outside of kedei achilas pras. So again, is the important issue to us the consumption, or is the important issue to us the definition of the consumption as if it were actually happening? That's taking this step a bit further than we asked it before. What do you think the thing would be over there? Well, says Abaye, I think that our Mishnah is an excellent basis for determining that din. Because look, the Mishnah says that if somebody had in Kavana to eat a kechatzi zayit and to be maktir a kechatzi zayit, it would be kosher. Again, this is the same approach I took a moment ago. It would be kosher, but why would it be kosher? Because achila and haktara is not mitztarev. Okay? But we said before that essentially in a case where it would be similar to eat and to eat. So we had the case, you know, to put it onto a fire, that the fire would eat it, you know. So if it would be a similar case to that. Now, what do I mean by a similar case to that? Well, the Mizbeach, is there a din of achilat Mizbeach betoch achilat pras? No. If I put something on the Mizbeach and the fire on the Mizbeach does not burn a kezayit of it betoch achilat pras, it's still a perfectly good haktara as soon as the Mizbeach gets around. Maybe the fire is very low, or maybe this particular piece of meat is like far away from the hotter part of the Mizbeach. So it takes 3 hours maybe to even finish up that kezayit. Does that mean it wasn't a haktara? No, there's no din of kedei achilas pras on achilas Mizbeach, right? So the only chisorin here in the Mishnah is the fact that it's haktara and achila. But if not for that, the fact that the haktara is the type of achila that takes place possibly over a longer period than kedei achilas pras, that's not a problem. Okay, so take away the haktara element. Let's just talk about the consumption element. Well, you know, it could be consumption of fire too, I don't care. But the point is, if I don't call it haktara, and yet it would suffer from the same problems that haktara would suffer, namely, that it's not done kedei achilas pras, then it would be mitztarev, as long as I don't use the word haktara, right? As the Mishnah is saying, it's only, the only issue here is that achila and haktara don't combine. Okay, now normal haktara, a haktara is yoter mechve achilat pras, and that's happens very often, and nonetheless, it's going to be mitztarev if I don't use the word haktara. Same proof I brought before, Rava. Not such a good proof. I mean, look, we could be talking specifically about, you know, a very hot fire on the Mizbeach. So then it would be actually betoch kedei achilas pras. Now, this is such a far-fetched answer that the Rambam mamash ignores it. And the Rambam paskins that it's a perfectly good raya from the Mishnah. I mean, it's just what we call a doche. We're doche 100% proof. But when we're doche 100% proof, that is considered to be a teshuva dechukah. It's like a far-fetched. And therefore, we paskin halacha that actually it is considered to be, even if it's not betoch kedei achilas pras, it's considered to be an achila. So the virtual achila does not have to actually follow the technicalities of an actual achila. There is no actual achila there at all. It's the fact of its being ne'echal. That's important, not the fact that I'm talking about an act of achila. That's what comes out from both of these questions. Now, the last part of the Mishnah said, if you had in Kavana to eat a chatzi zayit and to be maktir a chatzi zayit, it's definitely kosher because in achila v'haktara mitztarfim. So now that we've been looking at the implications of that statement, I got a problem, because it's saying that the only reason that it doesn't combine is because one is haktara on the Mizbeach, and one is the achila of a person. But if that weren't the issue, then it would combine. But what I'm bringing on the Mizbeach is a murim. That's not something that's roi for a person to eat. And you're telling me the only problem is that I said haktorah. But that would mean that in the equivalent case where I'm talking about eating, not haktorah, so then it would be mitztaref. But the very same Mishnah said in the Reisha that the only time that it's considered to be a machshava is if you thought le'echol davar shedarko le'echol. Well, emurim are not darko le'echol. So the Mishnah is a contradiction, minei ubei. It starts off saying that you cannot consider, forget about haktorah, you cannot consider it to be an achila in terms of a machsheves pigel if it's not something that is roi for you to eat. Well, emurim are not roi for you to eat. They're meant to be on the mizbeach. So why is the problem that you cannot be mitzarif haktorah and achila? That's not the problem. The problem is that even if it were achila and achila, you wouldn't be able to use this to create pigel because you're eating something that isn't roi for achila. So I don't know. This mission makes no sense. Because, I mean, it's clear. Et shedarko lechol in. Only something that is meant to be eaten and something that is not darko lechol lo. So the Mishnah is, completely self-contradictory. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu, well, I mean, we're going to have to say that the last part of the Mishnah is actually there in order to teach you the din of Rebbe Eliezer. And remember, Rebbe Eliezer is the one who says that you can be mechashvin, miachilat adam lachilat mizbeach, umiachilat mizbeach lachilat adam, because we're going to have the Mishnah later on, and we talked about this before, that it says that according to the Tanakhama, hashochet et hazevach leechol davar she'ein darko leechol. So you're going to put on the mizbeach something that's meant to be eaten by the bialim. Tanakhama says that's kosher, but Rebbe Eliezer says it's pasul. That means that according to Rebbe Eliezer, bechashrin on even achilas mizbeach achilas adam and vice versa. So obviously, this last piece of our Mishnah must be going according to Rebbe Eliezer, and the opening of the Mishnah was going according to Rabbanan, who say that ein mechashrin meachilas adam achilas mizbeach and vice versa. Abaye Omar, no, it's very hard to believe that. I mean, it could be that the closing of the Mishnah is true according to the Rabbanan as well, okay? But lo tema, don't say that the implication of this close is that in the event that you were going, oh, it's only when you're saying chatzisayas for achila and chatzisayas for haktorah, that the implication is that if both of them would be le'echol, no, that implication is not the point of the Mishnah. I mean, that's the implication that you jump to. But what you could be medayik from the Mishnah is that achila and achila, meaning lechol v'lechol davar shedarko lechol, achila and haktor are not mitztarif, but achila and achila are mitztarif. I understand. So then what would be the point? I know that already. Michael Mashmalan, there would be no chiddush in that. It's so ridiculous to tell me that closing piece with that implication, if that implication is well known by every kindergarten child. I mean, Michael Mashmalan, that what? That a dover shedarko lechol? I mean, that's what the Mishnah said right at the beginning. It said that you can combine things that are meant to be eaten. It says, this was all in the same Mishnah. What are you telling me? That it's still possible and that it is mitztarev. And if you're telling me that the point is what it says, you know, that lechol v'lahaktir, that's the point, that is not able to be mitztarev. I mean, I know that from the diak in the opening of the Mishnah, because out of the opening of the Mishnah go, if you shecht, or you do any of the arba, you did kishrita, kabbalah, hilacha, or zrika, le'echol davar shedarko le'echol. So what does that mean? Le'echol davar shedarko le'echol, yes, but darko she'ein darko le'echol, lo. So that includes a case where you're going to eat something that was meant to be put on the Mizbeach. It includes that case. And it includes also a case where you're going to be only eating a chatzizayit, and the other part is going to be a chatzizayit of things meant to be put on the Mizbeach. So I know that also. I mean, once I know that, so hashtu ma le'echol, if you're telling me I cannot put together an achila together with another achila of something that's on the mizbeach, even though they're both achilas, so koshikate, if I use the word lahaktir, I'm not going to be able to put together an achila and a haktara, am I? If I can't even put together an achila and an achila? That's what the opening of the Mishnah says. No, excuse me, that does not follow logically. Because if you have in mind to eat and to be maktir, I would think that that would be mitzaref. More so than le'echol, and then le'echol davar she'ein darko le'echol. Why? Because I would have said, look, in the case that you're bringing me, in which a person had a kavana to eat something that's roi l'achilas adam, and also to eat something that's roi l'achilas mizbeach, he is thinking to do something that is abnormal. And that, indeed, is not mitzaref. But over here, you're trying to put two things together, each one of which is normal. I'm going to be doing a chatzi zayis of achilas adam of human food. And I'm going to be doing a chatzizayis of haktora of mizbeach food. Now, each one of those things is kedarko. So, haikiyurche baikiyurche. Each part of it is exactly the way it's supposed to be. This is a correct achilas adam, and this is a correct haktoras mizbeach. And how do you know that those two achilas are not mitzvah for the diak and the resha of achila and achila, where over there the second one was for a person to eat something that wasn't roi? Excuse me, it doesn't follow at all. Therefore, I do still need the Mishnah to tell me in the last piece that Achila and Akhtar are not mitzaref without any of the implications. It's not coming to teach me the implications. It's coming to tell me the Iker Din. Hadrelach kol azvachim.
Bli neder.